This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are the family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. In the past 30 years, the number of obese children has increased throughout the United States, leading many to consider childhood obesity a critical public health threat. Some of the health problems associated with obesity include type 2 diabetes, hypertension, sleep apnea, depression, orthopedic problems, and many more. And you know, data from the 2007 National Survey of Children's Health showed that obese children were twice as likely to repeat a grade in school compared with children who were neither overweight nor obese. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. Parents are struggling against many forces that are pulling them and their children into unhealthy eating habits and a sedentary lifestyle, from the food manufacturers who have increased salt, sugar, and fat in most processed foods, to the corporations who have put junk food in the schools, to commercials on TV. It takes great effort and planning to provide families with the nutrition they need to be healthy now and in the future. Other possible causes of the obesity epidemic in our country are poverty and racism, making it difficult for low-income parents to afford or have access to a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables. And, you know, another factor to consider is the need for safe neighborhoods and parks where children can play instead of spending most afternoons on the couch or in their room in front of the TV or computer. And when schools reduce physical activities and sports programs, kids suffer. The health of our children is at great risk if we don't come together in our communities to find solutions. We have to wake up to the reality and do the hard work at home, in schools, in towns, and let our government leaders know that significant changes must be made to reduce preventable diseases. Call us this morning at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And you can email us during the show at info@childhoodmatters.org. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you do to help your child stay healthy and also what struggles are you facing. You know, today's show also is made possible in part by Kaiser Permanente Northern California. They're doing some great work in the community. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Peggy Dessler. She's a pediatrician at Kaiser Permanente Richmond Medical Center, where she's also the chief of professional education. For many years, she's been involved in trainings and programs relating to pediatric overweight populations and has worked on several task forces involving schools and community groups addressing this complex problem with her patients and the community. During Peggy's childhood, she helped her dad grow a substantial vegetable garden and fruit orchard in the South Bay of California. This was the start of her interest in nutrition and healthy eating. Dr. Dessler deeply values her interactions with parents and is herself a mother of four children, all under the age of 13. In her free time, she coaches volleyball. Dr. Peggy Dessler, welcome back to Childhood Matters.
Oh, Rona, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to see you. I've sure missed working with you.
We've missed you.
Over the last 5 to 10 years, things have really changed, you know, when it comes to the health of children, in part because of these things I've mentioned, family stress, lack of activity, eating habits. Maybe you can give us some insight into what you're seeing in the clinic. How do you see things?
You know what? I actually want to start this off with a really positive note because, you know, 15 years ago when I first started practicing and we would bring up an issue of a child being overweight, it was like dropping a bomb in the clinic room, and people just really resented talking about it. It was painful. Now parents come in with their children who are overweight, and at least they're receptive to talking about it. There is much more of an openness. And in fact, I actually have parents who come in and say, "How is my child's weight?" let's talk about his BMI number. Body mass index is a number that, for those of you who don't know, it's a relationship between their height and weight. And it's one indicator of whether or not a child is overweight. But that's a huge change in parents being willing to talk about it. And then I think that we're really understanding that kids, there's no one single solution. So our job as pediatricians is to ask questions, find out what is going on in the home, ask what their hours are. It's not simple. It's not simply eat healthier foods and get more movement. Of course, that's the message. But you need to get involved in their lives and ask questions and find out what their situation is at home before you can render any kind of offer any solutions.
Or judgment. Right. There's a lot of judgment, and then we find, oh, this is a single mom, and she's working two jobs,
oh,
and
absolutely.
She's going to fast foods because she doesn't have time to cook. So you have to work with what's happening. But as a pediatrician, are you seeing the consequences of obesity and overweight?
I think we see so many more complaints of musculoskeletal pains just from their skeletal system carrying weight that their bodies were not designed to carry. Certainly, the rates of type 2 diabetes, where their pancreas just can't produce enough insulin to maintain their body weight. You do see things that are maybe a little less easy to measure, but just as significant as some depression or low self-esteem. That is really tough on children. And it's so related, though.
So related. And I think, you know, when I worked at Kaiser, we started programs there trying to really, again, meet parents where they're at, help them understand some practical things they could do, like taking that walk after dinner, learning how to cook fresh vegetables and make food for the rest of the week on Sunday. So there, I want to talk about those things today.
Absolutely.
With you. And I think I look forward to our listeners also telling us how they manage to do simple things that make a difference. Also joining us in the studio is Michelle Stern. She's the founder of What's Cooking. It's a certified green company that offers healthy and seasonal cooking classes to kids in the San Francisco Bay Area. These classes teach kids and their families to enjoy delicious homemade foods, as well as motivate families to use food and cooking to help those less fortunate. Michelle is also the community outreach director for DOOF. That's food spelled backwards. It's a multimedia company that strives to make good food fun. In the past, she taught high school biology and environmental science in Castro Valley. And in her spare time, she likes to focus on her two children, various four-legged pets, backyard chickens, and a quickly expanding vegetable garden. Michelle Stern, I'm so happy you could join us this morning.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great to see you. And, you know, you love working with kids and parents. Maybe you could tell us what you do that helps families change eating habits so kids can grow up healthy.
Yeah, well, we offer a lot of after-school classes. So we're working with children in schools. One of the things that we try to include in all of the classes that we teach are just kind of some information about where the food comes from, what's in the food that you're eating. And I think a lot of children aren't aware. You know, they eat what's provided for them. And I don't think a lot of kids realize that there's a variety of qualities of food. So to look at labels and look at ingredients and try to recognize if the food they're eating is actually really food. We joke, and Michael Pollan, I'm a huge fan of what he talks about, and we talk about eating things that are grown from plants, not made in a plant.
And things that are grown from plants,
on a plant,
not made in a plant.
Exactly. And we talk about, you know, if you can't pronounce it, it's probably made in a laboratory. And you really have to think about, is that really, if you have a choice of what kind of food and fuel for your body, you know, what are you going to pick? So that's one of the simple things that we do, is just to bring awareness about what they're putting into their bodies.
And so you also do like birthday parties and things?
We do. It's really fun. You know, I think what a lot of families don't realize is that making food is just so much fun, and it's educational. And of course, so many cultures value food, and they come together and celebrate by eating a big meal together. But at these birthday parties, I'll come and we'll bring tools and ingredients to make two recipes, and then the kids get to eat what they've created. So at a recent 4-year-old birthday party, if you can imagine, we made Asian dumplings, and it was just amazing. The kids ate what they made. They were really proud of it, and they worked really hard together. It was cooperative and exciting, too.
Well, you know, I think the whole idea of cooking together, and I know that when my kids, you know, were young, we could do that, and I loved it. And, you know, parents often don't have enough time, so, you know, they keep the kids out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Peggy,
I think when you bring kids to the table and involved in choosing their healthy fruits and vegetables, they're also more willing to try them.
I agree.
And if you engage them in that process and then help you cook, they're willing to try it.
That's right. Well, 1-877-372-KIDS. We're dealing with our phones this morning, and I think they're almost ready. But we're going to take a listen now to some voices of parents and hear what they have to say about this important subject.
This week, I went to a local park in Oakland asking parents to weigh in with their thoughts on childhood obesity.
What are your thoughts on the obesity epidemic facing our youth today?
I think it's definitely a tragedy. I think it's just a matter of, you know, we've gotten out of touch with food and what's nutritious and what's real and what real food is and what food-like products are, and probably having too much more of the latter.
We have to do something about it. We all know that. And one of the first things to do is to start as early as you can with good food to eat, like rice and beans and as few sweets as possible, except what comes in fruits.
I think it's something that a lot of parents are starting to really think about and a lot of schools are starting to address in the classrooms.
And what are some of the practices that you have at home to try and promote healthy living in the household?
Lots of outdoor activity. We go to the park and we do a lot of running around and getting the energy out. He is just generally a nice, active kid, and we keep him that way. He does very little sitting around except to read and play games that he likes.
Basically buying real ingredients, fresh ingredients, fruits, vegetables, you know, making your own foods rather than it coming out of the freezer or a box or a package. Just, you know, working with real ingredients.
We don't buy a lot of just snack foods that are pre-packaged types of things. We do a lot of just our own snacks of fruits and vegetables. And, you know, there's always the pre-dinner craziness that we always try and have something like carrots or grapes or something to snack on while dinner's being made. And that seems to be a really good solution for us.
What are the most unhealthy foods that you've noticed your children love to eat?
Chocolate. Definitely. She says she's a chocoholic.
I think the only thing he really loves if he gets his hands on them is ice cream.
And what are the most healthy foods that they love?
She loves chicken and beans and proteins and vegetables.
He loves bananas and cuties.
Right now, blueberries. Totally a fan of blueberries and raspberries. So we can always get her to eat.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Thanks, Felsha. Those are great parents who are really on top of it here. And I think that was around Lake Merritt. Peggy Dessler?
You know what? What struck me about those little messages that were coming out there, everybody has great ideas. And there isn't one approach to this. But also, you are talking a little bit about what Michelle Obama, our First Lady, is talking about, bringing a lot of stakeholders to the table. And it's got to be a societal approach. You're talking about making city planning, making safe parks, having access to all these wonderful foods. That's not easy for everybody.
Right. And using food stamps at farmers markets.
That's right.
And saying, hey, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have health, and, you know, Kaiser Permanente, I have to say, you know, I worked there for 14 years. They do a lot of great prevention stuff. And, you know, they started having this farmers market at Kaiser Oakland right there. And I thought, but it's only, I think, one day a week or maybe 2 days a week. And I thought, you know, why don't hospitals have a fresh fruits market as part of the hospital?
That's also affordable.
That's affordable. Like, if they want to reduce their costs, you know, like, start thinking outside of the box for sure. What'd you think?
I loved it. I mean, like Peggy said, just all of the positive energy about it. What one of the parents said that really struck me is about having healthy snacks available before dinner. I know that the other day I caught my son with his hand in the cupboard and he was grabbing a granola bar, which I try to encourage him to bring foods that are wrapped as to-go snacks and not something that we eat in the house because I have packaging issues. But, you know, the idea that if a lot of parents complain that their kids don't really eat fruits and vegetables, but it is possible to take some of the vegetables that you might otherwise serve at dinner and have them out sort of buffet style on the counter, on the table, wherever, for snacking ahead of time, when they're really hungry, they will eat them.
That's right. And put it in a muffin tin with a little broccoli here and a little carrots here and maybe a little hummus in one of the things, and they dip it. And again, I want to say for parents who are listening this morning, if you are feeling stressed and you know that you need to make some changes, but you're kind of stuck in a rut, keep listening and let us know what your challenges are, because we know that some of us know what to do, but we also get stuck. Let's take calls now. We have Yvonne with us. Yvonne from San Francisco. Good morning. Hi, Yvonne. Are you there?
Yes, good morning. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm glad we got our phones here and you're on the line. What would you like to say about healthy eating and any challenges or successes you're having?
Oh, I used to have some challenges with my 14 years old son who been diagnosed with diabetes, obesity.
Uh-huh.
And he also at the same time, he was diagnosed with pre-diabetes.
Pre-diabetes, yes.
Yeah, so it was very scary for me as a mom for the first time. So I don't know how to deal with the food, what kind of food should I have to feed my son, how long I had to stay focused on him the way that he started going to eat a lot of junk food at school, stuff like that.
Yeah, so, it's a challenge. And, you know, hopefully whoever did the diagnosis has provided you with some services like a good nutrition. Do you have like a nutritionist to work with?
I used to. We worked together with a nutritionist, but then we have some family issues. So the father was in charge of my son,
yeah.
And then I lose track of that.
Uh-huh, right. So a lot of family issues come into play, but it is scary when a child has – and say something about pre-diabetes, Peggy Dessler.
You know, Yvonne, thank you so much for calling in, and I think it's wonderful that you you recognize the relationship between your son's weight issues and the fact that he's pre-diabetic. The good news is there's a lot of hope for him, and I hope that he is not on insulin yet. Is that I'm understanding correctly?
Right now he's still battling with a lot of issues right now with a health issue, you know,
okay.
At school. Sometimes friends are very cruel. They start calling him names.
And, yes. Yes.
That and way that he eats.
Which is almost more painful than the medical issue is when he's teased. And kids can be so cruel around this. And so you helping him understand that there are changes that can happen if he increases his movement and makes exercise fun and then change some of your eating ways, this can be turned around, and I hope that your physician has talked to you about the hope in all this.
And I think it's very important, Yvonne, to go to your pediatrician and ask for whatever services they know in San Francisco that can help you, because it is a family affair, and the more you model things. Michelle?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm proud of you for calling. I feel like you're very brave for doing that. I would just say that one of the things that you can do for your son is to have some healthy snacks available for him in the house. So, you know, he can still eat. You know, I don't want him to feel like he should be punished, but have great choices for him that you can be supportive of.
That's right. And find ways to be active together, Yvonne. You know, it's hard when a child is 14, you know, they start to be very independent. But there are, you know, I think the hope is important. Find ways to be active together and learn as much as you can. I'm going to send you a book called Lunch Lessons, Changing the Way We Feed Our Children. It has recipes in it by Ann Cooper, and it has lots of great ideas and snacks. And go back to your pediatrician and see if you can get help also.
One of the last things I wanted to say to Yvonne and to anybody else who's listening out there who might have a child who's overweight or their doctor has talked about it, one of the messages that have changed in the pediatric office is we are not pinpointing the child anymore and saying, your kid is overweight, you need to make these changes. We're treating the entire family.
Yvonne, I'll be happy to talk to you offline also if you have more questions. Thanks so much for your call. Have a wonderful day. And in a moment, we'll talk with you about healthy eating.
Join join the dialogue.
Share your thoughts.
Add your feedback.
Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Brought to you in part by First Five Santa Clara County.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Santa Fe families, take home health tips from a registered dietitian and health educator at the Falkirk Cultural Center. Food and beverages will be included Tuesday, March 9 at 5:30. Call to RSVP at 415-472-1396. That's 415-472-1396. Join Nurse Rona and Chef Gigi at the Belmont Community Hall. Strategies for incorporating nutritious and delicious meals for your family will be offered Wednesday, March 10, from 6:30 to 8. For more information, call 650-596-8008. That's 650-596-8008. Join the Contra Costa Fire Protection Council to learn how to keep your home safe. This free workshop will be at the Sarah Adult School in Richmond, Friday, March 12, from noon to 2. For more information, call 510-574-3231. That's 510-574-3231. Berkeley residents, flu season is still here. Are you prepared? Free H1N1 vaccinations are still available at the Berkeley Public Health Center Saturday, March 13, from 11 to 1. For more information, call 510-981-5350. That's 510-981-5350. Enjoy a St. Patrick's Day parade in downtown San Francisco Saturday, March 13 at 11:30. For more information, call 415-395-8417. That's 415-395-8417. Enjoy local entertainment in Seaside. The City of Seaside and Sci-Fi Fraternity are hosting a youth talent show at the Old Myers Center Auditorium Saturday, March 13, from 3 to 5:30. For more information, call 831-899-6805. That's 831-899-6805. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Are you pregnant and thinking about how you will feed your new baby? Breast milk is the perfect nutrition right from the start. It's free, always ready, and supports growth and brain development. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends only breast milk for the first 6 months of a baby's life. Breastfed babies have fewer illnesses and fewer trips to the doctor. Mothers who breastfeed lose pregnancy weight faster and have lower risk for breast and ovarian cancers. Be sure to tell your health provider that you want to breastfeed your baby.
Made possible by your local First Five.
Unveil the secrets of seahorses and dive into extreme aquarium adventures at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Leafy and weedy sea dragons, seahorses, and pipe horses can't wait to show you their new home and the secret lives of seahorses. That's not all that's new. Regal flamingos, dapper Magellanic penguins, scarlet and white ibis, and other striking species make their debut in Hot Pink Flamingos, Stories of Hope in a Changing Sea. Opens March 29. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit MontereyBayAquarium.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit Monterey Bay Aquarium.
I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
We're talking with Dr. Peggy Dessler, a pediatrician at Kaiser Permanente Richmond Medical Center, where she is also the chief of professional education, and Michelle Stern, founder of What's Cooking, a certified green company that offers healthy and seasonal cooking classes to kids in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have some great books to give away. We just gave away Lunch Lessons by Anna Cooper. We have I'm a Vegetarian by Ellen Schwartz, How to Get Your Kid to Eat by Ellen Satter, and a few others. So give us a call if you have a question. We have a call now from Susan in Monterey. Good morning, Susan.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, what would you like to say?
Well, I have a 14-year-old, and I'm also a registered dietitian.
If you have a 14-year-old, and we just had a caller on, a lovely woman who has a child who's having some weight issues and prediabetes, you know, as a registered dietitian and having a 14-year-old, how do you help people and yourself figure out how to eat healthy?
Well, what I found with with the teenage group is that you you've really got to have the right foods at home in your house. You have to, if you're going to let them snack, you've got to have the right snacking foods at home. And I have like the graham crackers, the popcorn, the fruits, and you know they won't eat it if it's even at this age. They don't seem to want to just grab it. You need it. It's like if I cut it up for him, he'll eat it that way. But not if it's yeah. So anyway, it's very interesting. They still like you to cut it up.
They still like you to cut it up. I think that's a good point there. They still like you to cut it up. And then if you're going to snack, you're picking it up. And as you're cutting it, you're having a piece of apple instead of grabbing a handful of what?
Chips.
Chips.
Like corn nuts.
Right.
You know, some other things that they might bring from home or that they get from their baseball game or whatever. They get, you know, their coaches or other parents will bring in all this other stuff for them to eat. And it's, you know, trying to get that message, come on, guys, let's offer grapes or other things that are easy for them to get. And it's a challenge because you're fighting it with the, you know, with baseball people and the schools, you know, everybody
yeah.
wants to bring in, you know, cupcakes and things like that. And
good point, Peggy.
You know, I was thinking that, you know, one of our messages, too, is it's not completely abolishing all those foods. It's saying most of the time, if you need something orange and crunchy, 90% of the time, grab the carrots. Okay, the rest of the time, you can have a Frito or a Cheeto. I think we can't completely abolish those foods. I think you have to have balance and moderation.
I agree. I find that when you totally limit something, it makes it even more tempting.
That's true, too. And it's Suzanne, right? Suzanne? Yeah. As a dietitian, do you have any just last advice for maybe even pregnant women or new moms about healthy eating?
Well, I work with Baby Moon Lactation Center here in Monterey, and we actually do a foods class for kids that are beginning to eat and or they're transitioning, you know, 6 months to starting solids. And one of our theories, the nurse that I work with, that we seem to see is that a lot of moms will get the puree foods and start, you know, shoveling that into their babies. And what we try to tell them how important the textures are and the amount of time to eat, you know, if they're wolfing down, you know, a full jar full of baby food, you know, in 5 minutes, they need to go to the next texture because, you know, we feel like if they're able to eat that quantity of food in such a short period of time, they need to, you know, they need to give the child a different texture or upgrade
Good.
That texture so they're eating slower.
That's a great point. Healthy eating right from the start, also starting with vegetables maybe instead of the sweet stuff. And Peggy.
Oh, breastfeeding.
And breastfeeding.
Group.
It's a great way to start if you can. Of course, there are times when parents can't, but most of the time you can. Susie, thank you so much. I have a couple of cute books here you could pass on to any parents you have. One is called We Like to Move, Exercise is Fun, and one is We Like to Eat Well by Elise April. Thanks for calling this morning, and I hope you'll let folks know in Monterey about our shows.
I definitely will. Thank you very much.
Take good care now.
You're listening to Childhood Matters. Important info for parents and child caregivers.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Marin.
1-877-372-KIDS 5437. Let's take another call now. We have with us Nancy from, I think it's Locksburg. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
As a child, I'm a grandma and have one daughter. As a child, I was always not encouraged, I was punished if I didn't eat everything.
Yes.
I didn't eat everything, and I had to even eat foods that I didn't like.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, Nancy.
And so I haven't heard, I don't think, you mentioned portion control, too.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good, good. How old are your grandkids?
My grandsons are 3.5 and 8 months old.
Let's tackle this for a minute. Michelle, maybe you could start. This is very important because when I was teaching classes on healthy eating, a lot of people brought this up. The two things about, like, shouldn't I make my kids eat everything on their plate? And also the whole issue about portion control is key to any, you know, change. You know, I've done Weight Watchers for a long time over the years, and it's all about portion control. And it's amazing how big our portions are here in the United States. Michelle?
Thanks for the call. We would refer to that phenomenon as the Clean Plate Club, and it's something that my husband dealt with as a child a little bit, not wanting to waste food and things like that. But I think it's really important that families sort of remove any guilt from eating and feeding their family, because so much of eating is tied up with self-esteem and self-confidence and the ability to feel like you can choose how much your body needs. And I'm a fan of somebody named Ellen Satter, who talks a lot about the parent's role as providing healthy choices, and then it's the child's responsibility to actually decide how much to eat and if they're going to eat. And we need to kind of step back and know that we've done our job by providing them good choices and then letting the kids choose. So what that might mean is putting the food out family style on the table in big serving platters, you not serving the child, but letting them learn to serve themselves. And there's a big learning curve there. But knowing, first of all, you have to kind of keep in mind that there should be something on the table that every child likes.
Right.
Because that really helps them not feel like you don't care about them and their preferences, because we do have real preferences.
Good. Peggy Dessler.
I think also making the meals social. Sitting down together is a time where people are conversing, sharing their thoughts from the day. And when you're talking, you're also not so focused on the food itself. And it's a community building thing.
And of course, we know we had Christine Carter on a few weeks ago. She wrote a great book on happiness. And one of the key things to do is actually have meals together and also not chase after a child to eat. I think it's a mistake to feel like, you know, and again, many of us were raised feeling like we weren't going to get enough to eat. So, that's Nancy, you bring up such great points. I have a book for you that the author is Ellen Satter, who Michelle just mentioned. It's How to Get Your Kid to Eat, But Not Too Much. So this might be a fun book for you to take a look at and talk to your family about. I'm really glad you called, Nancy.
I'm glad I could call also, and I think my daughter's doing a fantastic job with having the correct foods and everything available.
Aren't you proud? I have fabulous kids who are raising amazing, my grandchildren too, and it just makes me so happy to see how they, you know, have just done a great job, and they've really, really know what's important. So take good care, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, as a grandma, you know, you bring your whole past with you. And, you know, my grandmother used to come with shopping bags of food to bring to us. And it was all, a lot of it were her wonderful sweets, you know, and then the cakes and the cookies. And, oh, my God, did I love it when she did that.
Yes.
But, again, it set certain patterns in place.
There's such enjoyment in
around
eating.
Food. I mean, food is part of our culture. Yeah. Let's take more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. We have Chris with us this morning from Santa Rosa. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Now, you're Chris Beckins. You're with the health information. You're a health information specialist with the Department of Health Services, right?
Right, in Sonoma County.
County.
I am also a nutritionist and have worked with families for almost 20 years, 25 years now, in Santa Rosa and in Sonoma County. And I staff a coalition of individuals and organizations called the Community Activity and Nutrition Coalition that's been working to promote good nutritional and physical health for residents in the counties for about 10 years now.
And what do you see that's working?
We emphasize on children, our work with children. And
What do you see that you've done that you think is really working, that's helping?
Well, we know that families need resources and they need information, and so we've worked to have providers screen children and counsel parents about healthy eating and being active. But we also realize that families need to go out into an environment that supports their good changes that they've made. So as a coalition, we worked to bring funding in, and Kaiser funded us to provide an initiative to work with schools and work sites and the community. And so we have a Healthy Corner Stores program where we're working with stores to have healthier options instead of the candy and and chips in at the checkout stand. And we're working with restaurants to have smart meal programs so that when families do go out, they have healthier choices.
Beautiful.
You know, this discussion can't really go anywhere without that discussion of disparity. And certain communities like Richmond just doesn't have the access to a lot of the fresh fruits and vegetables that are affordable. And one of the things that is so great is that some of the farmers out in Brentwood and in deep Contra Costa County, East Contra Costa County, are bringing in groceries to the poorer schools in Richmond and leaving grocery bags of food for the families that need it. And that is exactly what we need.
It's the community piece. And Chris, I think that what you're saying is so key is that you're coming together with medical professionals. First Five is also, you know, done great work around this. And really that coalition is what's going to make a difference. If people are in the Sonoma, Santa Rosa area and want to know more, what resource should we can tell them about your coalition?
They're looking for classes for their children to learn how to eat healthier and be active. The Northern California Center for Well-Being has classes, and their phone number is 575-6043.
What's the area code?
707.
707. Good.
575-6043. But also, Kaiser offers classes to the public as well as their members, and their classes can be found at www.kaisersantarosa.org.
Right, and you can go to kp.org and find all that out. Well, Chris, thank you for bringing up the whole issue of a coalition, and I think hopefully if these continue, we can see real change over the next few years. I think it's the key to being successful. I really appreciate you calling this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Michelle, you know, it seems like it's on all these different levels. You've got the families needing to do different work around healthy eating and then bringing it out into the schools and the community.
Right. It's so hard. I mean, schools are so pressured right now with budget cuts and everything else, and they have such a hard time even getting through what they need to get through, you know, from the top-down administration. So it's hard, and they're not necessarily bringing in any food education that they should be doing.
Well, let's take another call. We have Karen Pertschick with us from Berkeley now. Good morning, Karen.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how you doing? We're talking right now about schools and what we can do. How would you like to weigh in on what's needed to, you know, really prevent obesity and overweight kids?
Well, just to respond to the last caller, I actually am providing technical assistance to the HEAL, Healthy Eating, Active Living grants. She mentioned the one in Santa Rosa. There's one in Modesto, one in Richmond. And other communities around the Bay Area should be encouraged by this to gather together. It could be neighborhoods. It could be parents in schools to join with these organizations such as your city, the school is a really good one to push for these changes because there are funders out there now who would like to support your work, and it really needs to come from the communities. Communities, you know what
That's
they
right.
need. So I think, again, with the schools, in fact, PE is required. It's there. It's a free resource for our kids, and as, you know, people have been discussing, it's so important that kids, they start active, as one of those parents early on said, and I just want to keep him active.
Yeah.
So going with, you know, letting kids, as they come into the world, healthy and ready to stay healthy, supporting them through making sure that they're very active, starting in their childcare,
yes,
preschool, and all the way up through school. So for parents to really get involved and ask the questions at all of those
levels.
Yes. And come together as parents, right?
Yeah.
Really form those coalitions again. Karen, you mentioned the HEAL program. If someone wants to be more active in one of those programs, what do they do?
This is particularly a Kaiser-funded program. They can contact their local Kaiser and the Kaiser Community Benefits to find out if there are grants available.
Good.
And that kind of, yeah.
And your message is activity, activity, come together as communities, and we can actually make a difference.
Go to your school if the playgrounds aren't open and ask on the weekends because that's a community resource.
That's
right there in the community. We want, again, with the issues of disparity, we need to look right in the communities. Some of the projects are building walking trails.
We're done here. We're going to go to a break. Just hang on.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
In California, one in three children is overweight or at risk of becoming overweight. As a parent or caregiver, help stop this trend by making sure your child exercises regularly and eats right. Turn off the TV and encourage your child to play. Run, skip, and jump. By building strong muscles and bones, kids are healthier and less likely to become overweight or develop diseases like type 2 diabetes. Also, make sure your child eats at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. For healthy, affordable recipe ideas, order a free copy of First 5 California's Yummy for Your Tummy mini cookbook by calling 1-800-KIDS-025. For more on healthy lifestyle choices, contact your local Bay Area First 5 or visit first5kids.org/bay.
This is Nurse Rona with news for parents, providers, and everyone who cares about kids. Childhood Matters is now podcasting. So many people have told me they love our show but can't listen on Sunday mornings. Now it's easy to get our shows on your iPod or MP3 player and take us with you. Sign up for podcasting today at childhoodmatters.org. And if you or someone you know speaks Spanish, click on the Nuestros Niños logo and learn about our sister show in Spanish with Doctora Marisol.
What a day. From the grocery store to the doctor's office, it's nice to sit back and let Sophia play.
Definitely, but I feel it's important to have the kids in special programs. I'm always learning how competitive school is, even at this young age.
Me too. I worry I'm not doing enough to teach Sophia the skills she'll need, even though she's just 4. I read an article yesterday that said play is a great way for children to learn.
So you're telling me that when my kids play at preschool or at home, they're learning something?
The article said play is the way children develop their understanding of the world. So when kids play with friends or pretend to count money or rhyme words or build with blocks, they're actually learning in different ways, socially, physically, and intellectually. They learn how to think critically and problem solve, making them more confident.
That makes sense. The other day, Danny was so proud when he and Sophia built a fire station in the sandbox. He is learning when he's having fun, so we can relax and encourage the learning they do when they play.
Mommy, Mommy, look what I made!
Wow, you built a ramp to make your cars race faster.
This message brought to you by the Early Childhood Funders. Play. It's the way young children learn.
Do you know of an organization doing great community work benefiting children 5 and under? First 5 Contra Costa is offering community grants of up to $10,000 to support neighborhood cleanups, new or improved playgrounds, parent education, and healthy lifestyles. Nonprofit organizations, city agencies, community groups, public adult schools, and libraries are encouraged to apply. Applicants must attend an informational workshop by the end of March. To learn more, visit first5cc.org or call 925-771-7300. Brought to you by your local First 5.
Continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Dr. Peggy Dessler, a pediatrician at Kaiser Permanente Richmond Medical Center, and Michelle Stern, founder of What's Cooking, offering healthy and seasonal cooking classes to kids in the San Francisco Bay Area. You can find her at whatscooking.info. Is that right, Michelle?
That is. Thank you.
Okay, good. And I want people to know about an important panel discussion that I'm going to be facilitating about helping teens learn in an era of digital overload. I'll be facilitating the panel featuring local experts and the the topics will be things like social networking online, video games and teens, pros and cons, latest research on multitasking, texting, sexting, and more. It'll take place on Saturday, March 20th from 10 to noon, and it's at Arinda Academy in Arinda. So the space is limited. If you want to attend, go to our website, our homepage, and it will send you over to the homepage for Beth Samuelson, and that's Student Organizational Services. So go to our homepage, check it out. We'd love to see you there. Okay, Karen Perchick, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. So a final word of what you were saying. I think we're sitting here talking about how parents can really get involved.
Yes, well, on the note that you just mentioned, my 14-year-old certainly, you know, is on Facebook, but I feel good about the fact that he has excellent PE in school every day and that he plays soccer at lunch. So, again, looking at what schools can do, even during recess, and supporting them to have, you know, the equipment and the structure and the supervision on the play yard, schools do know now how important it is. So even though there are challenges, I think that we can make real changes to support our kids to be active in school and after school.
Good.
As well. Someone mentioned the after school programs. And your guests have done a fabulous job, and your callers, of talking about, you know, the eating part of it and how to have a good, healthy feeding relationship, how kids, you know, can learn to be healthy eaters. Being active will give them an appetite.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Karen. And Michelle's just going to riff off of that about how she sort of has started working. Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, well, I've been noticing there's a trend with a lot of the callers, and people are concerned with the food that their kids are getting at school. And so I just wanted to encourage parents to speak out if it's something that they care about. I was a little bit concerned about the quality of the food in our school lunch program. And so it started with a simple email to some parents that I knew were passionate, and we spread it to other schools in our district. And we just had our first meeting. We called it a task force meeting with the director of school lunch in our district office. And it was a lot more promising than I had expected. But just sort of speaking out, being the squeaky wheel, so to speak, and you'd be amazed at where it goes.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Let's take another call. We have Felicia with us right now from Belmont. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning.
Hi. Oh, yes. So why don't you tell us about the event that's coming up this week?
Oh, great. Well, this is an event hosted by the Lunchmaster, which is a company that I work for. We're a family-owned company. My parents actually own it. And we're a school lunch program in the Bay Area that's offering healthy, well-balanced, affordable, and sustainable school lunches. We're actually hosting our first event. It's going to be a yearly event this Wednesday, March 10th, and the doors open at 6.
It's free, too.
It's free. It's free. And it's basically a free, fun, action-packed night with the kids. We're going to have samples of our meals there. And it's actually open to the public as well. Anybody that wants to learn more about our program is welcome to come.
And I'm going to be hosting it.
You're emceeing hosting it. Absolutely. You're the MC of the night.
Yeah.
We're going to have our dietitian there as well, talking about nutrition.
Great.
We'll have our head chef there as well. And some of our vendors, including Nyman Ranch and World Centric, which they're the company that provides our compostable plates.
So tell people where it is. It's in Belmont?
It's in Belmont.
Yeah.
It's at 900 Alameda de las Pulgas.
Okay.
And you can get more information about the event at thelunchmaster.com.
Great. And it's free. It's for families. Come find out. I look forward to meeting you. We're going to move on because we're almost out of time.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Let's try and squeeze in one more call. We have Veronica, I think it is, in San Jose. How do you say your name?
Veronica.
Veronica. Hello. Good morning. What would you like to add as we finish up here this morning?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry I got in late. I'm a preschool teacher. I work with young children with autism, 3 to 6.
Yes.
And because of the disability, a lot of time the parents send sweet, crunchy food, candy, chocolate, and stuff. I'm trying to get them to eat healthy. What can I do to help my class and their parents?
Wonderful question. Let's go, Peggy Dessler.
Well, you know what? You just think about the foods that you love and bring those in for the children or ask the parents. Give them actual examples of things that they could do. Cut up Granny Smith apples. Find the fruits and vegetables that are actually in season. They're a lot more affordable. And if you give parents suggestions, a lot of times they'll jump on it.
Yes. And Michelle?
Well, I was just going to say to basically there are healthier options to do sweet and crunchy. So if you can freeze grapes, for example. So it's cold and it's refreshing and it's crunchy, but it's fruit. And I agree with what Peggy said, though, about eating in season. That makes a huge difference.
You know, and I think, Veronica, it's a matter of maybe bringing someone in for a night, for a parent education night, and having someone like Michelle or a local person in San Jose talk to First Five. They know a lot of people. And have an evening for the parents. So you're presenting this in a very positive way. And then you'll find that there will be people there who will have great ideas, and you might do it around different cultures. And there's, you know, ways to make things that are based on the cultural thing. So make it a project, and I'll look for any books I have to send you that might help. I have one called Good Kids, Bad Habits by Jennifer Trachtenberg, a real age guide to raising healthy children. And I think all child care providers should be thinking like you are, and we'll find some resources for you. Thanks so much for your call this morning.
Have a wonderful Sunday, all three of you.
You too. Peggy Dessler, we're finishing up here. How can people find out more about the Kaiser programs?
You know, if you just called your local Kaiser and called Health Education, and that office has a wealth of local opportunities. I'm not going to tell you that every single Kaiser has the exact same classes offered, but they have a lot of different things. And if you contact them, a lot of it's open free to the public.
And thank you for your work. You're a wonderful pediatrician.
Oh. And Rona, I need to mention one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
The Contra Costa County Women's Hall of Fame Building Community Award is focusing on you, Rona. Was chosen for this, and I just need to congratulate you because
you.
All the work
Thank you.
That's a huge award.
It's on my birthday, too, March 18th. Thanks so much. Michelle, how can people find out, Michelle Stern, about your work?
Well, I have a blog, and I talk a lot about offering parent solutions, and I like to hear from my readers, too, so that I can answer their questions and address their concerns. So my blog is whatscookingblog.com.
And we're putting it right on our website also. It'll
That's
be on our
great.
Blog.
Page.
Perfect. And if people want to find out about parties, they can contact you.
She'll
come and cook with you and your kids and teach you as she has fun. She's fabulous. We met on View from the Bay. It's so good to have you
with
us today.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
And, you know, don't go away, folks. We have important information on our community report. Lacey Daniel talked with the Prevention Institute here about childhood obesity and some really key information that's coming. So thank you to my guests and thank you all for listening. And enjoy breakfast this morning. Make a good breakfast with your kids and have some fun.
I'm Associate Producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. You just heard about the challenges of tackling the childhood obesity epidemic. Well, this week I spoke to Sana Shahimi, a program manager with Prevention Institute, a nonprofit based in Oakland, about what the government is doing on the national and local level to encourage better nutrition and more exercise.
This is really about making sure that people have access to those healthy foods in the first place. Part of the president's current budget proposal is for a fresh food financing initiative. And what that would do is it would make sure that communities that are now called food deserts, which means that they don't have access to grocery stores or other places to purchase healthy food, that there would be an investment in those communities so that every resident would be able to purchase healthy food in their immediate community. It's really about creating environments that support people in being healthy in the first place by making sure that people have access to healthy food and have access to opportunities of being physically active.
So here locally in California, can you tell me what's new, what's being done now?
Governor Schwarzenegger just held a summit on childhood obesity and nutrition the governor's proposal includes making sure that schools have access to free drinking water, which is really important, removing sports drinks from schools, which actually have just as much sugar in them as soda, also making sure that kids really have access to quality physical education in schools and increasing the number of minutes kids are actually spending in PE classes. And he also called for something that's called joint use, which means that school playgrounds, school pools, school facilities are jointly used by the school and the surrounding community. So you could use the school play yard after hours, during the summer, during weekends. The gates won't remain locked.
That was Sana Shahimi of the Prevention Institute. To learn more, visit preventioninstitute.org. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Sirona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family. Everybody
join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.